You are listening to International Open Podcast. This is the official podcast of International Open Magazine. Please head over to internationalopenmagazine.com to see the show notes size of the podcast, articles and more information.
Hello and welcome to the second issue of the International Open Magazine podcast. Here is Horst Jens and I'm speaking with...
Stefan Haslinger.
And we are in Hamburg at the...
CCH, which is the Congress Center of Hamburg. And here right now currently is happening the
32C3,
which means it's the 32nd edition of the Chaos Communication Congress.
Hosted by the Chaos Computer Club.
And as Austrian television station said, we are meeting here with 12,000 hackers. Whatever they think of a hacker to be.
Yeah.
I would call it more maybe a nerd meetup or something like that. So here are not criminals trying to take down an IT system, something like that. That's not...
If that happens,
yeah.
But it's not the main point. The main point is the in-between of politics, hacking, technology.
Yeah, and it's quite a big meetup like this. It's the biggest one probably in the world of this kind. And currently there are more than 12,000 people gathering here. And that's quite impressive. And if you, for example, if you come here for the first time, and obviously you have to queue in the beginning to get your, to exchange your ticket for a badge so you can enter freely, you have to queue with a few hundred other people. And you won't believe it, nobody tries to get in front of you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's a nice starter for a...
I must say I was coming very early, I think around 8 o'clock or so with the night train, and I had not to wait in line.
No, I'm jealous. But I think with the 200 people in front of me, I've been waiting 5 minutes, so they are highly organized.
I must also say all this is run by volunteers.
Yes.
It's fairly cheap for a conference of that size. I think it was 90 euro.
And
incredibly well organized. Yeah. So whatever you make jokes about German organization talent, here it is displayed as its best.
Yeah. Yeah, that's valid statement, absolutely. There's lots of stuff going on.
Really lots. So I hope we both give a complete description without going too much in our detail let's try to give an overview of what this is about and what you experienced so far.
On the one hand side, it's a conference, a quite regular conference on topics like internet security, but also on...
hacking in general, I would say.
Yeah, hacking, social impact of current legislation, yeah. That stuff.
We should define hacking a bit in the sense of hacking not only about how to circumvent technical systems in computer, but hacking in general, like lockpicking, or finding solutions for problems that are maybe not mainstream.
Yeah, my characterization for a hack is always having a short, having a clever solution for a problem to circumvent certain strange things.
We're just a few steps away from the Congress Center Hamburg in a very beautiful Chinese garden.
Yes.
Japanese garden.
Yeah, so.
Miniature trees and lake. Very nice.
But still seeing that huge tower in front of us from the television station. So it's still techy here. Okay. And what have you seen so far?
Well, speaking from yesterday, the Congress started, I think, around noon, officially.
Yeah.
And I was there in the morning, you know, from the night train, because my hostel was only open in the afternoon. And my first impression was it's all dark. So Hamburg is dark in the morning because it's far up in the north. For Europe, and inside the Congress, everything was dark. The light was dimmed down, so to be better comfortable for hackers, so they can see their screens better. And I felt completely lost, and I needed around a whole day just to orientate myself, to find the different floors with the lecture halls, and a lot of assembly spaces and workshops.
Yeah, yeah.
So my first impression was wandering around and feeling completely lost.
to give a small overview, there are four big tracks with conference talks in parallel.
Going on all the time from 11
till midnight. Yeah, till midnight. And then there is, besides that, there is, I think, 8 more tracks of self-organized talks, sessions, workshop, all that stuff. And besides that, there are lots and lots of tables, and with that I mean hundreds of tables.
Literally hundreds of tables.
Which then are called assemblies or shared tables, where people just sit together and are hacking on projects. So
having their laptops on, having usually electricity, having land provided, and that's I have to say, because this is not self-evident for a big congress, we have all very good quality Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there are 12,000 people here, and there is no issue with the Wi-Fi. Yep. I was looking at the stats. When I was looking at it, which was yesterday in the afternoon, there were 6,000 devices on the Wi-Fi in concurrency, and there were no troubles at all. It was always performing as you would desire it. So that's very uncommon for a conference of that size.
Yeah. I must also say I was attending the Chaos Communication Congress, I think, 10 years before, as it was in Berlin, and there it was far smaller. And the impression I still remember is lots of people sitting on the floor in an overcrowded conference building at Berlin Alexanderplatz and eating pizzas on the floor, and it was cold and everyone had his jackets on, and this is here far better organized in Hamburg.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There are gutter ropes, it's been working, there are big halls reserved only for eating with only tables. there are lots of cafeteria floors, so there are working toilets in many floors, so it's really a good location for a big crowd.
Yeah, and also the lecture halls themselves are huge. I think the biggest one has a capacity of more than 3,000 people, which is quite impressive. It's a great fun to be here. Have you been to talks already?
A few. I was in the keynote yesterday, the opening keynote in the big hall, and I think they have more than 3,000 people capacity, I was trying to count it. It was packed, and the keynote was, please look in the show notes, I don't remember the name, of a fugitive from Somalia, Kenya, who immigrated to Germany.
Yeah, and she even grew up in a refugee camp there, so she is...
she was born in a Kenyan refugee camp, because her mother came from Somalia, and then she now lives in Germany refugee camps, and she works as a motivation speaker now.
Yeah, this talk was quite surprising for most of us, I think, because almost everybody was expecting some technical talk, at least, with some revelations. Usually they've done some security revelations during the keynote or one of the first talks, and it was something completely different. So the organizers at least didn't fail in surprising us.
And the theme of the World Congress is Gated Communities. It's also in the logos. And I think the keynote speaker made a surprisingly good job of giving this gated community a very first-hand perspective, because she came from a gated community, like a prison of refugee camps, with restricted to travel, but she could not travel around. And now she is in another continent in a gated community against her will, in a various levels of restriction they put on refugees that they cannot go around. And her motto was no borders.
Mm-hmm. Then I've been at a talk about a radio device, a software-defined radio device. This was something completely new for me. I've learned about it that it exists. It was given out at the summer event that has been organized by the Chaos Communication Congress as well.
Club as every 4 years.
Yes, and it's RAID-IO or RAID-1-O called. It's a small computer. And it has a radio device on it as well, so you can use it as a receiver and as a transmitter for radio signals.
So it's a bit like your own portable radio station?
Absolutely. You can receive standard radio stations, but also different signals. So you decide with the software you're writing what you're going to receive and what you're going to send with that device. This is still quite uncommon in the hacking community. So it was new for lots of people, and also the reception was not as good, I think, as they have expected. And so they gave an additional talk yesterday, where they described the current standings of their developments and what they had done during the last 6 months. So they have a new firmware and so on, but still they have troubles getting new devices because they have no current hardware manufacturer who is doing that for them. So it will be a community effort again if new devices will be produced in future times. This was quite a techie talk, so I've seen lots of people rushing out when it seemed to be too techie for them. But for the techies, it was great fun, yeah.
I think this also connotes very well with the keynote, because the keynote speaker was speaking about voicelessness, so that if she had learned German, she had no method of voicing herself, getting her permission to leave the office if she can. And this restriction of one's voice is like with the radio, with the normal radio that you buy at Radio Shack. You can only listen to radio. You have not the right to send. And with this device, you're a sender, which was, as I was young, illegal.
Yeah, which is still illegal depending on the frequency you're using it. So you have to take the responsibility yourself and look which frequencies are allowed to transmit and which aren't. But still, that particular device is a quite low energy device. That means I'm not sure if you can at all get into conflicts with law. I've not looked into the details of the specs of that device.
Tech spaces. No, it was a tech talk I heard this morning about tech makerspaces in favelas in Brazil, where they talked about making their own radio, a local radio stations.
Yeah.
They use a frequency that is normally reserved for wireless transmission to don't get in conflict with the law, because they say this is the medium that the local people in the slums are using.
So if you're interested in the topic and you're going to want to broadcast stuff, check with your local legislation and your regulations and look at the frequencies which are open. There are always frequencies that are open, and stick with them.
I think this whole right to speak and right to be heard is also a thing to define hacking, that this restriction is a restriction that is building more politically, for political reasons than for technical reasons. And a hacker will circumvent this restriction. For the mindset alone.
Yeah, partly yes, but if there wouldn't be any regulations, it would be chaos as well. So, yeah, that would be a different discussion, maybe. After that talk, I've been in a concert. There are concerts. I'm still speaking from yesterday. It was even, I think, before 6 p.m., so it was quite early. But there are concerts going here on all day as well. There is a schedule for that as well online, so maybe you would be too late to see them in live stream, but you can...
You can still, after the event, if you search for
C3.
Then you should find it in the show notes of International Open Magazine.
Yeah. So all the talks are recorded and even translated. The German talks are translated to English and English.
Most of the talks are in English anyway.
Not sure about that, but could be, yeah. They're always translated to the second language and have subtitles with them accompanied, so that's quite nice. So no matter if you are familiar with German or not, you can follow them in English as well.
It's really international.
Yeah.
Some kind of still secret event for the world outside German-speaking.
Yeah.
I can go away. I hope I don't disturb you. And then they were checking orientation and with the compass and so on. What's going on? And then they are rolling out little rugs, teppiche, and start praying. They were Muslim prayers.
Ah, interesting.
And they found a room and orientated themselves to make a very, very cool thing to be suddenly inside a praying room.
Yeah, yeah.
Also for diversity, I can say this is there's quite a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
It's unlike other hacking events. There are female participants.
Yeah.
There are children.
Yeah.
Family friendly. There's a big program for children. Mitch Altman from California is here doing Arduino and soldering workshops. There are, as you see, children roaming around generally.
Yeah.
And you see not only women, which is a very nice surprise for a tech event, but you see also, how is the English word? A man dressed as woman.
Queer.
Queers, yeah. Yes. And they have also their own open tables. And
yeah.
This is really, there's no restriction, so to speak, of who can participate. They're all techies.
I've also seen quite a lot of wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Aligned with LEDs on them, so there are blinking wheelchairs, which is quite funny to see them. So there are lots of geeks and nerds hacking their wheelchairs, even, which was also interesting to see. Yeah,
which is also nice is that most of hackerspaces of European towns have a table representing here. This is more common in the summer camps of Chaos Computer Club, but this also happened here. So that if you're from a city and you know people from the local hackerspace, you will find them here because they represent the local hackerspace.
Are always available.
Table.
Yeah, and so as we've nice just met some people from the Netherlands before, and
we have
recorded.
An interview where you heard.
Yeah.
So let's skip forward to today.
No. I'm not done with yesterday. As I'm interested in podcasting, obviously, I've been to the podcasting meetup group yesterday.
But we completely forgot to mention there's always going on live podcasting.
That's right. Even two sessions in parallel. There is one stage where an audience of, let's say, 100 people can listen to a live podcast. And there is always a second table where a second podcast is streamed to the internet as well. But all that stuff is recorded as well and can be listened to afterwards. And one thing that went there, started there by a colleague of us, a Viennese colleague of us, Andreas Messner. Is it? No, it's Daniel Messner. I'm wrong with the name. Yeah. He started a group of people trying to help other people getting started with podcasts. By the way, all that stuff, as you said before, is organized by volunteers here. And they're
called Engel or Angels.
Yeah, and there is a network of more than 1,000 angels here. So they have their own organization within that conference as well to get things going, to get their shifts organized.
And they get nothing paid. I think they have
absolutely
some privilege at the after party, but that's
yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And it's also very easy to become an angel yourself. You can register and then you get shifts, so the daily shifts, like how much you want to volunteer, 1 hour per day or more. So I think 1 hour shift is the minimum. And then
yeah,
you do something like guarding an entrance or giving out closes or helping out.
Are checking that safety regulations are kept.
Doing speakers announcement, also doing moderating of talks.
Yeah. And sort of that system is going to be started regarding podcasting. That was also quite nice, and I've got familiar with, I think, 50 other podcasts that way, which was quite nice.
This
and
is one of the reasons why we go to meetings, to meet other people.
Yeah.
You could have met them online, but it's not the same.
Yeah, so there is the podcaster community meeting here as well. That was quite a nice time.
And I heard you made an impression about listeners from our German-speaking Biertacher podcast.
That's right, and we have even two people who promised us to join us for next year for one of the first sessions, so
okay, we're continuing podcast about Chaos Communication Congress. You were saying, Stefan, that you listened yesterday to a podcast medley.
Yeah, and afterwards to two live podcasts which were recorded there. And one was on different drinks for hackers. That's also quite
Hacker
special.
Browser.
Hacker Browser, yeah. And there is this thing called Mate, which also is an anti-alcoholic drink.
Usually popular here.
Yeah, it's...
And it's a caffeinated soft drink.
Yeah, it's a sort of tea, Mate tea.
Yeah.
This is quite, as you said, quite popular, and lots of that stuff is drunk here at the conference. That was quite interesting to get into the history of that stuff and the different flavors and what you could do with them.
So really a food nerd.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a food podcast, yeah. That was quite nice. Yeah, that was yesterday for me.
I must also say it's very nice to be on a conference full of nerds. So you, they're not wearing a uniform, but like if you have a tie, you will be hugely overdressed.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you look like a nerd with your, well, like t-shirt and stuff, then you're completely...
Either being underdressed or wearing black stuff, that would be fine, maybe.
Informal uniform. Yeah, but I'm very curious. You was yesterday at this theater
player? No, I haven't. No.
There was a theater play, I think, starting at midnight about refugees.
Okay.
But I also was...
That particular time. One was not recorded.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
I saw it on the... Yeah, that's the reason behind that, yeah. And today I left Hamburg in the morning for doing something completely different. As we have been, I'm not sure if we've been speaking on the first podcast of this track, but yeah, I'm interested in recumbent bikes, which are...
What's the name?
Recumbent bikes.
So a bike where you lay horizontally?
More or less, yes. And this was quite interesting for me because I thought I could ride a bike. When I sat on it, I went to a company who designs their own bikes and had a meeting with the owner of them. The company is called Toxy, T-O-X-Y, yeah.
We must here insert that we get absolutely no money so far from this company or any other we mentioned.
That's right, but I will...
We open donations.
I told the
quite bribeable.
I told the owner of that company that we will record a podcast.
So you'll get a discount?
No, I won't get a discount, but I will put a link for him so that he can listen to that episode.
Just check out the show notes in internationalopenmagazine.com.
And it was interesting for me to see that I'm not familiar with all kinds of bikes. Really, in the beginning, I had big troubles, and I backed. I felt I kissed the road three times, or maybe four times.
So you had a low bike where you
absolutely
maybe 10 centimeter above the ground, and you managed to fall.
It's maybe 40 centimeters. It's not so low, but still I managed to fall because it's quite different from the usual bikes in the fact that usually you're sitting really quite in the center between the front bike and not so much the center of gravity, but the center of her torque. So when you turn, the turning point of the front wheel is quite a lot in front of you, usually on a bike. And on that particular bike, it isn't. It's more or less below you.
Mm-hmm.
And still, you can't see the front wheel because it's just below you.
Yeah.
Usually, you're looking in front of you. You see the front part of the frame of the bike. And this is not fixed connected to the front wheel. That means that it has some time delay.
It's like a video game with a sloppy...
Yes. So you turn the wheel to the left and you expect it to immediately that the bike will turn to the left.
Nothing happens. You turn more and then...
And you turn more and then you fall to the other side. And that happened to me three times till I asked him to the owner of the company, could you show me how you run it?
Yeah.
And then I saw him. And he also told me not to look at the bike, just look at the horizon.
Yeah.
And that helped a lot. So then the
it helped a lot.
So then the fourth trial was successful.
And now you are able to turning with your low bike.
Yes, absolutely. Then he picked up a second bike and we just went for a short ride in the village there. And that was great fun for me to see that. I'm not sure if I will get one. I'm thinking about it. but it's quite expensive.
So it was just a trial run.
Yeah.
You did not buy it.
Absolutely no, I didn't. I also didn't promise that I would buy it.
My absolutely nerd question is, if you are in a public spot, in the street, and usually you find a way to fix your bike with a cable so that it don't get stolen.
Yeah.
And is it more complicated with a low bike?
Absolutely not. You the same rules as with the bike. You should try to connect the frame and at least one wheel with a fixed pole or something.
But it more space, so is it
harder? No, it's even a bit. It's even a bit shorter, I would say. Yeah. It's a bit lower, and that's about it.
And the nice thing is, if a thief come, he will possibly not get the hangout.
Yeah, yeah. The audience will have fun at least in the beginning. Yeah,
when inbuilt thief security.
A little bit at least. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But it was great fun.
Okay, but we're driving off topic.
That's right.
Let's focus on chaos communication controls.
That's right. What I've written down some notes.
For me, it started around 11:30 today, which is very nice for the meetup. I think you have really time to sleep in the morning and see the city a bit. Usually the normal conferences start at 9 and so on. This is quite pointless because you spend until midnight in the bar and then you are quite hangover.
Yeah, and usually it's getting later than midnight here.
Yeah. I mean, here the official program ends at midnight.
That's right.
And I think some hackers are not sleeping at all. Ah, I must say that was a very nice talking point in the keynote, which said, please at least shower once a day and sleep 6 hours a day and make 2 meals.
Yeah, that's the 6-2-1 rule. Yeah, yeah.
I think this is very nice.
Yeah. That's also quite an old rule for these conferences already, but still it has to be repeated for the newcomers, and it's really worth it just for hygiene reasons.
Yeah. They have also a tradition that I think it's not here anymore, but it was a tradition that you could reserve a spot for your sleeping bag. So if you don't have money to buy a hotel room, you still could get a spot in a mass sleeping room.
Yeah,
I think this is not the case anymore.
It's not in the standard program anymore, but there are links to get to ways to get cheap accommodation.
It's also more professional, as long with couch surfing. And so
absolutely, on. Yeah.
So what happened today?
In the morning, before I came here, I learned two more things. One is that it's not necessary, as we have in Vienna, to paint the bike lanes in colors which then lose their color within months or within weeks even. Here they have a completely different way. They just use brick stones for the bike lanes, which are then a bit more red than the usual tracks.
So they have three-dimensional bike lanes.
More or less, yeah. But it's not very bumpy. So it's.
But Stefan, let's focus on the congress.
Okay.
I mean, that's still not bloody, but
still, it's. Nice thing to see that different cities have different thoughts on stuff.
But what was your first talk today that you visited, or your first impression of the job you did?
Today I only visited the lightning talks.
Mm-hmm. Very clever.
Where I met you, and it was...
After we managed to not see us yesterday, even if we both spent the whole day here.
In the same building,
We even managed to have some kind of communication by Twitter, but we were unable to tweet us in time to make a meeting point.
And probably we've been in the same room, but still haven't seen each other. Yeah, that's right.
But today we managed.
But maybe we should explain what that lightning talk is.
This is a very nice concept of conferences and one of my favorites. In short, the speaker has only 5 minutes for a given topic. And he can, and the topics are very diverse, what is in the speaker's heart or mind. And here this is also very organized for lightning talks, like you have to submit your lightning talk in advance.
Yeah.
And then they organize the slides already on a big computer system, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's not like in other conferences where each speaker try to connect his laptop and it does not work.
And it takes a lot of time to switch.
10 minutes to turn on the laptop and then 5 minutes speaking time. Yeah. That's here. Better organized somewhat. But and the cool thing is in the official wiki is already a summary of the lightning talk. So you can read ahead if you're interested in these lightning talks.
But I think what is missing is that you're not able to put put up questions after the lightning talks.
It was once because the speaker was too fast. And
yeah, but still there is this limit of 5 minutes, and everything that's done within the 5 minutes is fine.
And as a professional conference goer, from the audience perspective, lightning talks are really a blessing because this is like a mixed bag of sweets that surprise bags. So you don't really know what will happen. But the fun thing is, even if two or three talks are boring for your personal point of view, you still get some that are surprisingly cool. And I think this is the main point why it's worth to go to a conference and not see them at home. The cool thing is, after you remember the guy, if he speak to a topic you're really interested in, and you will find this guy on the conference and have a personal talk with him later. This is very valuable.
As I said before, I think it's quite hard to find the people.
It's a bit, but you can.
But you can look it up in the wiki.
You can see his Twitter address and email and connect him up.
So this dimension of 12,000 people is still something new for me in a conference like this. I've never been. So you would probably not meet people just by chance. Every now and then we see people. But it's quite seldom. Yeah.
But it pays to be a bit organized and in the morning, email your friends which talks you will try to visit so that you can set up meeting points.
And what I also like very much here, they have got indoor navigation. Have you tried that?
No. This is this app that shows you how to go to the next conference.
Yeah. So they have Wi-Fi everywhere, and if you are logged into the Wi-Fi, they also track your position, or they can track your position.
Tell you where to go.
And you can select off a list of, I think, more than 200 locations in the building. And then
the fun thing is that there are more than 200 locations.
Absolutely.
In the building because there's so much going on. There's all these huge tables, the different cafeteria bars.
And also one menu item is just where's the next toilet, which is also quite useful.
We should say that there are some unisex toilets.
That's right,
was the first time I hear this concept.
Yeah.
I think it basically means that it's a toilet like in a small apartment for women and men.
And men, And this indoor navigation was quite helpful for me already because I don't remember where the actual meeting rooms are, and then it tells you you have to get down two floors and 120 meters to the east and then you should be fine.
So you're completely remote controlled by a little app now.
I claim to be not remote controlled because I decide where I want to go.
You decide which app instruction to follow.
That's right. Yeah.
So and I just wait for the first social hack where a hacker will try to manipulate these little apps and steer all people to spontaneous
From one of the older conferences, I think I should dig out a link for that one. They have done animations of the flow of people during the conference, which was also quite interesting. Yeah. For each person with a Wi-Fi device, you would get a single dot.
So you can see which was popular.
Which are the popular tracks?
See
and
who was leaving? Talk
about it's anonymized data, you couldn't.
The
but you you could see something like that. Yeah, that's right.
There's also, of course, a rating system. I did not try it out. So
yeah, I didn't.
It, and a huge wiki where you can self-organize assemblies and spontaneous.
And now I've been here for a bit more than a day, and I have to confess, I'm already a bit exhausted.
Yes, it's exhausting. Yeah. Isn't that the most important practical hint I got? Luckily, I got it in a blog. Is bring very comfortable sneakers, so sport shoes.
Yeah.
Not heavy winter shoes.
Yeah.
Because yesterday I was here in my winter shoes.
Yeah.
For the winter
and
environment, and this make very tired in a hot conference room.
Yeah. So and you're making quite some distance here between the locations. Yeah.
I can say I was in the morning in a very good talk. Please look it up in the show notes. I will link it from there. And this was about making hackerspaces in slums in favela.
Interesting.
I think particularly a Brazilian activist, and his main topic that impressed me very much was not which technology to bring, but more how to get involved in a local community. So not invade them like an alien force with high-tech robots and everything, but first work locally in the community gardens of the favela, gain the trust of the people doing that, that they see you can also work, that they accept you on a level, make barbecue parties with them. So go in low, very low tech, and then use the tech or bring in the hackerspace and tech that they actually want and can use. Mm-hmm. And he told stories or photos from they just found a garage and where the car was leaving each morning and coming back in the evening. So they used this garage as a locally hackerspace and everyone in the area then knows when the car is out, the inside we can meet for a hackerspace. And then they built very fantastic, very low-tech products, like one was a lamp made out of a plastic bottle. So very nice, clever solution with a cap of a lamp. Holding the battery, and so you have a very small light, electric light that mm-hmm. you can produce locally. And then other things like, they're making a local, radio station. Mm-hmm. Very cheaply manufactured. Yeah. So, but it was also the social skill of how to do it and how not to do mm-hmm. things. So it was for me very fascinating talk. And there, I must say, if you look at the schedule of the talks, there are a lot of things that have a tech touch, but are more focused on political or environment or even art. So I think it's quite interesting, even if you're not from a hardcore technical direction coming.
Absolutely. That hacking mindset need not be convoluted with tech at all. There are lots of makers here as well, which just try to build stuff, unconventional stuff, with materials they have available. So, yeah.
And of course, I can't, so like you, I'm a big fan of the lightning talks.
Yeah.
There were some very interesting lightning talks. Of course, some about politics, about surveillance, about control of state. And also other talks. It's a lot going on here. You should definitely check it out if you're at least interested in a bit in society, politics.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, you're here at the end of this podcast interview with Philip, a guy from Holland.
Yes.
Met outside the conference building. He talked about his impressions. And we both, I think, we will do a talk tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, bye-bye for now.
3rd
We are now at the 3rd day of Chaos Communication Congress 32.
And you should talk to the microphone.
Yes, I think I will have a microphone. So, Stefan is looking very destroyed. What happened?
I think I slept not enough. That's a problem for me today, a little bit.
This is a common symptom of Chaos Communication Congress.
People seem to be a bit more tired today, at least, yes. But that's also a good symptom because it means that we had great fun yesterday because we had lots of interactions. I have been to 2 talks at least, 2 interesting talks I think I can talk about. What have you done?
I was on a talk this morning.
Ah, okay.
And I met some very cool comic drawers.
Ah, that's also interesting.
Comic artists, which spent time yesterday and they will publish in International Open Magazine.
And I ran into 2 podcast listeners, which was also great fun.
That is very cool. I hear you're a celebrity now.
Yeah, seems so. 2 listeners who had thought.
Who recognized your voice.
That's right. That was quite funny as well. Yeah, I was sitting down. I wanted to have a look in my emails and suddenly a guy approached me because he was seeing my notebook and he owns the same one and we exchanged our problems that we have with that notebook when we are running Linux on it. And while we were talking, a 3rd guy was approaching us and he thought, well, I think I know your voice from the podcast. And I was completely blown away because I would have never expected that to happen in real life.
That's because we run a weekly German language podcast.
That's right. And to have an Austrian accent in Germany is enough to be identified first and second identified as a podcaster. Well, that's interesting. Okay. But let's get back to the talks.
To the talks. Let me start because my brain is already fading away.
Okay.
Even if I will try to go sleep early yesterday. I had a very cool talk this morning from Obelix, a guy who is heavy into 3D printers. And it was about recycling plastic from 3D printers.
Okay.
He bought his own shredder and
how to speak, a machine that make plastic out of shredded plastic parts from 3D printers.
I think they call it molder.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then he talked about problems arising with printing useless 3D stuff and the environment impact and his own experience of trying to recycle and what works, what doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. And I think this whole topic that with 3D printers, everyone is now a little plastic creating decentralized machine and this parts stick in the nature for 5,000 years or so.
Yeah.
This is too less communicated, and it was very nice to hear such a talk.
And
someone who thinks about it.
Are you aware of the problem of recycling plastic materials? What's the difficulty about it?
Well, there were several ways he tried to approach them one by one.
I think the biggest one I can address here, because I can easily put it in a few sentences. Plastics contain of chains of molecules, and if you mold them down, they get shorter. And shorter molecules means that the quality of the plastics is worse. So you can at least, at most reach the quality that you had before, but usually from one product to the next recycled product, you just lose quality.
Yes,
that's right. And so it's regarding flexibility, regarding temperature, pressure, all that stuff, light stability, everything gets worse. That's the biggest problem. So if you mold stuff in, you get worse quality in the second run. But at least it's worth it to try to find something and
research in this direction.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah, well,
I always thought Obelix was a guy from a comic.
Yes, the fun thing is this guy, this was his nickname, and this guy has a bit of a similarity to the comic figure Obelix. I understand why he chose this nickname.
I met him as well, yes, he looks a little bit with his light hair color here. Yeah.
And what else? I was with you listening to Lightning Talks today.
That's right.
Starting to become my favorite topic at Chaos Communication Congress, sitting in Lightning Talks, and I'm already overwhelmed because there were too much good stuff, so in my brain they get confused, and I just made a point of afterwards I will go to the schedule and try to get the slides and then remember which one to contact and which one to research more about. There were a lot of interesting stuff.
I remember one which was actually quite funny because it was a guy talking about this project called IDA Buddy.
Yes, and it's Clippy.
Yeah. Maybe you remember Clippy, which was a Clippy from Microsoft Word, an agent that should help you there, but was mostly pointless or useless. And he is missing Clippy so much that he wanted to create another buddy to help him that should even be more annoying and more useless.
More customized.
Yeah, and that's what he's currently doing, and trying to find other people to put more useless information in either body's knowledge. So
it's
I think that's funny.
A project, and I think his absolutely best line that I loved very much was that he said, yes, and I even tried to connect to real friends to get useless advice, but the problem was that they expected he would this advice.
Yeah,
so
and
he preferred virtual friends.
Yeah, because the real friends always wanted to help him, and that's not the point.
Yeah, no, there were games, open source recreation of Age of Empires, I think. It's a project that I was not aware of. Then other extremely cool projects, a call to hackers to get into civil society and internet governance things, as well to engage in the policy making. A lot of cool stuff. Just listen for search in the show notes or the hashtag.
#32C3
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then Lightning Talks.
Yeah.
And then just pick them one by one if you find the topics.
Yeah, and the video again the video is recorded here, and you can follow the stream afterwards as well. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I did in the morning. I showed my first, as I visited, looked at my first offline video from a dog I missed.
Okay.
And there are lightning cards online, so
usually on the day after, some hours after, they are already online, not only for streaming, but also for download.
So when this podcast comes out, you can expect it to be online,
the current ones
as well.
We'll look for the Fahrplan first, this is the schedule with the talks, and then just download the talks you find interesting.
Yeah, cool. I remember yesterday I have been at the FNORD show.
Please tell me about it, because I managed, I get all ready for streaming in my hotel room, so that I managed to sleep in 5 minutes before it started.
Oh, that's a pity, you missed a lot, but still you can hear, join the recording as well. We have been, again, more than 3,000 people in the auditorium, it was absolutely full. It was in the big hall, and they had to send people back, because it was too full already, and kick people out.
It was starting at midnight,
yes, and it was till 1 a.m., and the FNORD show is, it's looking back at what happened the year, during the year 2015, regarding security, regarding everything that's relevant for nerds, hackers, and so on. And it's presented sometimes in a very straight way, in a very ironic way, sometimes also in a funny way, and especially pointing at politicians and how they acted during the last year.
And
good question. I'm quite sure it was in English. And again, if it would have been in German, there would be an English subtitle as well. But I think it was in English just because of the auditorium.
And it was, time
absolutely, absolutely. I was remembered a little bit to a German show on television, which is the Heute Show, which is a weekly show criticizing politics in a funny way as well. Yeah, not so funny way. I was hesitating to use that word, but the FNORD show is always worth it, and there are older shows as well which are still relevant, so it's even worth digging into the archives from the last years. And it's always the same two people who are running that stuff, who are also worth following in real life or in virtual life. Fefe with his famous, unfortunately, in German blog, I think. I remember Fefe's blog is in German. But that if you speak German, it would be worth to follow him criticizing politics in current politics in Germany as well, and in Europe. Yeah, that was one talk, quite a long one. Unfortunately, because it was at the same time, I missed a different one, a different show, which is a scientific podcast, which transforms into a live show at the 32C3. Yeah, and I'll have to watch that later, because I have been told that it was hilarious. They filled up 3 halls, one with the actual talk, and to 2 other halls it was streamed, and still both of them were packed full. And afterwards, it took them 3 hours to go, so they started at midnight as well. And they ended with standing ovations, so it must have been great. I've just seen the photos, and I'm looking forward to looking at them. And they also have a podcast. I think it's a weekly or bi-weekly podcast, so I have to look into that podcast as well. Yeah.
What can you say about the audience so late in the night at midnight? Is the conference center still full of people, or is it a bit less?
It's a bit less. Yeah. I would say it's a bit less,
the
but still.
Even
so sure about that, but probably yes, but still there have been thousands of people. When we left the room at 1 in the morning, it still seemed to be full. I have been here and talking to a podcast listener till 3 in the morning, and it was still full,
and the bars are still open.
Everything is still open,
even the hacking tables are still
And then I went to my hotel, which took me more than half an hour. I just looked in the Twitter feeds afterwards, and there were still coming updates that this is online, that is online, this presentation. So people were working through the night to get the material that has been created during the day and during the first part of the night to get it online in the second half of the night. And so it's more or less a 24, not 7, because it's only 4 days, but a 24-4 event here that's going on. And I think it's quieter when you arrive here in the morning. I came back in here.
The morning here is 11 or so.
Yeah, something like that. I was here at 10:30, and it was quite peaceful. Yeah. But still, a few thousand people have been here in the morning as well. So, yeah. And the second talk, which was also quite interesting for me, was on social networks and the bubbles that are created there, like Facebook and so on, and about open alternatives to these. And there are open alternatives, but the problem is there are too many of these. That means that people who are interested, they are not getting momentum. It's all these communities are fragmented. Data between these social networks cannot be exchanged.
Yeah.
And it was a guy from the Free Software Foundation who gave that talk, and he came up with some numbers. So, for example, on Wikipedia, there are listed 52 of different protocols of how to interact with these social networks.
Yeah.
So he suggested, why not create interfaces between them? And I had to criticize this because interacting between 52 of these protocols means writing 2,500 interfaces, which is just not feasible. So
we need a company, one to rule them all, that they all can centralize.
Yeah, we have that already. It's called Facebook. No thanks. That's the point of it.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to be able to switch easier to a different one and take people over. And it's an unsolved problem, and Free Software Foundation is working on this as well. It was interesting for me to learn about the Federation. Do you know the Federation? It's several of the free networks like GNU Social, Diaspora, and the third one, it's just an association of networks who share standards and want to be compatible to each other. And to gain more momentum, share this name, the Foundation, and try other networks to join in, for example, Identica. And so it seems to get a bit momentum. I haven't heard about this, the Federation, before.
Yeah.
And that seems to be interesting because it's a few of the more popular ones who seem to be interested in collaborating that way.
Very cool. Speaking of social networks, a friend of me has attended a talk about social graphs, and the speaker, I will link in the show notes, said that the first organization we know who made social graphs, like who is connected to whom, was the Russian Secret Service under the Tsar regime.
Yeah.
So it's a well-known police technique now, but they already did social graphs.
Absolutely,
The talk was around this direction. Who you don't want to have your social graph in your hands.
Maybe just one or two sentences on what are these social graphs.
Yeah.
The edges of these show the relations of the people to each other. So
who is connected to one, who is friends with them, who has relatives.
And in a more general sense, who form groups, who is related to whom, who is more relevant, who has more impact, and to
this has a very macabre connection, because that can also happen in the West, that if someone with you are connected, like he has your phone number in his phone, and he get busted in some razzia by the police for whatever reason, then automatically you become suspect because you had a connection with him.
Sure.
And this can be a very normal civil connection, like you traded stamps with him or have a common girlfriend or a friend or something. But then you are a suspect.
Yeah. So not only you have to be aware when you put your phone on, but even when your friends put their phones on.
Choose your friends carefully.
You could put it that way as well. Yeah. That's correct. I think I'm done for today.
Yes. I look forward to the talk of Max Schwenz,
the
heroic Austrian law student who fights Facebook.
Yeah.
And we will see what he has to report.
Yeah.
Hopefully I will manage to get into this talk. Some kind of social engineering. It seems that in the first row of the big rooms is always free. So
That's
even if a lot of people standing at the doors, so maybe shy or so, you just walk forward and then you get a free seat.
Yes. Okay. Let's try.
Okay. So let's meet again tomorrow.
Yes.
And see what we found.
And report from that day. Okay.
Okay.
Hello, Horst. What's the day today?
Hello, Stefan. Today is 30 December 2015, Zombie Day, because it's the last day of the Chaos Communication Congress, and everyone is a zombie because of the many parties yesterday night and all the time, and the generic lack of sleep.
Yeah, I've been here as well, and it was quite a nice service when we entered the conference stage. Everybody knows it's day number 4 here, but the people were so kind to tell us that it's Wednesday today, to inform us.
Gatekeepers, yes.
Yeah.
And I've seen a long queue of people, and asked the doorkeeper, what these people are waiting here? And he said to me, like a little child, it's good morning, it was noon, it's Wednesday. And these are people, like, every day waiting to get a day ticket.
Yeah.
Because there's a limited amount of day passes so that you can visit the conference just for one day. And they are limited, so there is a long queue already at 10 o'clock or 9. I think the people go up really early to get in line to get a chance to get a day pass.
It seems to be a bit quieter today already, so people seem to be tired, and maybe also
some are leaving already.
Yeah, you see people running around with the bags, for example, because they plan to leave soon. Have to catch a plane or a flight or something.
It's the last day. It's a bit sadness mixed in. It's over, but also a bit relevation that it's over.
And have you experienced some nice things since yesterday?
Absolutely. So I was yesterday a bit lazy. I was visiting Hamburg, visiting the harbor, the ships, and so. And in the end, I got again sleeping early. But today I visited some talks, lightning talks, and I hit again a jackpot at a lightning talk. It was a woman was giving a presentation about a Python book she wanted to write for children. And it will be Creative Commons licensed, share alike.
So cool.
Exactly my kind of girl, or my kind of project. And then I had the chance to later speak with her and swap business cards and so on. Very cool. So this alone, making this connection was worth the trip. So
I had also an interesting experience. I thought, meanwhile, I know the venue. And I was also finding a lightning talk where another talk was announced, and I tried to follow the speaker to the other talk and just missed him at once there, and so I didn't catch him again, and I didn't find the final room. And not only this one, I also managed to ignore two full floors. So I learned yesterday that this is not only a 3-floor building, it's a 5-floor building. And the top two ones, I just didn't miss the first 3 days. So it's really huge, the venue.
They have a children playing arena.
Yeah. And for example, they have a big sandbox there in there.
And you explained me the concept of the sandbox, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. In the beginning, it's a usual sandbox and children, and obviously also.
Speaking here of literally sandbox, not some computer device.
Absolutely, yeah, literal sandbox, and people are building mountains and valleys and so on.
This is not a sandbox like for children where you go in. It's more mounted on a table, so you just play in it with your hands.
That's right, but you could go in if you like.
Yeah, only two square meters or something.
Yeah, and then there is a camera watching
the sand,
the mountains,
from top down.
Yeah, the it's a 3D camera, so it can find the height of the certain areas, and then it calculates an image out of that. So deeper areas are assumed to be water, and that means blue, and higher areas are first green, and even higher than they are brown, and so on. And this image then is projected on the sand so that it's colored. Yeah, with a projector, and then it's colored in real time. So you can do terraforming in real time with your hands and see coming it into existence, which is also quite funny.
I must confess, I've seen this sandbox on the first day, but I did not understand the concept. I was just thinking it's some religious cult because everyone was slowly moving his hand in the sand and looking fascinated. And I did not get the full point with the camera and the beamer.
Yesterday we've both been to another workshop. No, not so much workshop, more a session, which was quite interesting, by Max Schrems.
Ah, yes, it was our main talk in the big hall.
Yeah.
And yes, this was really experience. Max Schrems, who make this legal action against Facebook about his data privacy rights. And what I can say is that Max Schrems has a very cool gift. He can very good for non-legal persons explain legal terms and the ways this action took place and the political fights and ways behind his action and political consequences also. It was very interesting, very enlightening talk.
And this talk has been in English, and we both highly recommend it, and we'll link it in the show notes. So if you're interested in that case...
And if you are at least interested in European politics or how Europe works or doesn't work, it's also a prime example of it.
Yeah, and as you said, I just want to underline that it's really a nice way of explaining stuff. So also for non-lawyers, non-technical people, it's quite easy to understand and follow him along.
I think we can accept one of what he said was because he noted himself, he's not techie, I think he's more Facebook user, but more legal interested. There's a very small overlap of people with technical and legal knowledge. And also no funding for such people to file class actions. And he is thinking about setting up an organization who bundle this knowledge and make, how you say, exemplary legal actions for some rights.
Yeah, and not only this, he's also interested in building an organization that's testing services and products against data privacy issues.
Yes, like a technical quality improvement, but privacy improvement. I hope this will go forward, and I would love to see this organization come into action and even donating money.
Besides that, I've only been to one more talk, which was not so much a talk, more a show-like. It is Hacker Jeopardy. If you know into Jeopardy, it's a quiz show where it's the other way around. Not you are asked questions and you have to provide the answers, but you are presented with the answer and you have to come up with the right question for it. And this was also great fun. It's also been recorded, also in English. And if you are into hacking, or if you're interested in how strange things hackers are interested, then I would recommend the Hacker Jeopardy, which is also a recorded talk.
A very high nerd factor, I think.
Absolutely, yeah, with the strangest questions. And it's they really tried to make the question answer thingy really hard. So in one particular case, we had again roughly 3,000 or 3,500 people in the audience, and there was only one single person who was managing to answer a particular question.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's been great fun yesterday. But that's pretty much it for me. Besides that, I've only been talking in private to different other hackers and other persons.
A ball of a private time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great fun for me. And I think...
two interviews, and I think they're both in English. One with a company from Laura and Dratzen, who make these storage devices.
That's Cloudfleet.io.
Yes. And another thing was about a comic artist. Who draw comics.
And you will attach these to the podcast?
Because both are in English and they make good complement of our report of the conference.
Okay, and I think with this we will close this.
Yes, it's a bit the last day. Everyone is hangover. Everyone is here a bit more tired than usual. And I don't expect much to happen. I look forward to see this closing event. Have you something on your agenda, some talks?
The closing event as well, and there is also one more talk on the technical insights of the Congress itself, so how the infrastructure of the Congress is run.
I must still say I'm still amazed that all this works so nearly perfect. Today I visited the first glitch who was not working at the garderobe system, say, where you give up your wardrobe. Your luggage, they had a very impressive computer system. So usually the same guy who takes your clothes, the same guy that you give your luggage gives you a receipt. Yeah. And there it was different. It was all from the beginning. And this morning this system was not working. They had some computer glitch. Yeah. But even also all the time I never have seen one toilet who is not working. That's alone incredible at 12,000 attendees and so. If you want to get a room or want anything, it's always some helper here who, and the infrastructure is just working, all organized by volunteers. This is very amazing.
I'm also already planning for next year, although this will not be happening here because this building is going to be brought down, so we will see where it's happening. But still, it will happen somewhere, and I think we will both attend, I guess so.
I think, yeah, because it's fun with you. Also, we noticed that speaking about, every day if we meet, we speak, what have you done? And so, and we, I think we compliment each other very good because I come early and tend to leave early, and you come a bit later, but you have the stamina to still go be at the parties and meet all the people I wanted to meet, which is extremely funny. Yes, I just want to say I want to attend one talk. It's something about Ebola and in crisis, so catastrophic areas, setting up internet connection systems and hacking, so hacking for crisis.
Okay.
Situations. Yeah. Well, I hope we have given you a good impression about what Chaos Communication Congress was about. You will find a full report in the International Open Magazine. This report, if you prefer to read.
And meet us in person at the next 33C3.
Yeah, or if you're someone in Vienna, please contact us. We meet every week for a German language podcast, but we can spontaneously make an English language podcast if we happen to have guests.
Okay.
Good. See you. So long.
So long.
Lots of people are concerned, so...
Not that concerned.
Speaking with Philip today, 28 December 2015, Hamburg...
Congress Center.
Just in front of the CCH.
Okay. Hello, Philip.
Hi.
You're from?
I'm from the Netherlands.
This is your first time at Chaos Communication Congress?
Yes, this is the first time.
And you survived one day and one night so far?
Yes, one day and one night so far and a half a day. Yeah.
Okay. What's your impression?
It's really interesting. It's really good. I was at DEF CON in Las Vegas last summer, and this is seems to be much more down to earth and much more interesting to me. Much more.
Wow.
Yeah, there's more political discussions and less.
Less tech.
Yeah, this is. I don't know. It's just better. I get a better impression in general. Yeah.
Okay.
Something special you're interested in?
No, not specifically. No, I'm just generally interested in hacking and security and politics.
You can speak and understand German, or you go here as an English speaker?
Ambition. Not very well, no.
So, assume you could speak no German at all. Was it okay for you from the level of English talks?
The English was excellent.
Excluded from some talks?
No. English was excellent. Yeah. Although I didn't go to any German talks because...
Okay.
Because my German isn't that good, nor is that of my friends. So.
There is live translation to English. There's a stream.
There is.
For each and every talk.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
So in the German one, you can still follow
it. Oh, okay, that's actually a good idea. Yeah, I might do that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what talks or what assemblies or hackers things you?
Where did I go? I actually made notes share with friends and colleagues and stuff. So yeah, what was the best one I went to so far? Let's see. Yesterday I liked the net neutrality in Europe one.
Austria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one was really great. This morning's state of internet censorship was alright. This was just more like, hey, this is what's going on. Yeah. And yeah,
so
I was
interested.
Yeah, not active, interested. Maybe I one day will be active, but not yet. So I like the whole gated communities idea.
Yeah,
it's kind of a nice usage of the term. Dieselgate was great. Great Firewall of China. And I went to the Stasi one, which was cool. Yeah, generally very positive.
You found other people from Dutch?
No, these are my friends and colleagues.
Okay, so you brought them with you?
Yes, we went together, yeah.
Well, nice to hear from you. Thanks, Philip, for this interview.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, have a great one.
Say the date. 29 December 2015, Chaos Communication Congress. I was speaking with comic artist Pantalone. Hello, Pantalone.
Hello, host. Nice to meet you.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I slept in the night and now I have energy again.
Worth mentioning at the conference.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning. Yes, it's not. Yeah.
So you have had some hours of sleep.
Some hours. We arrived in the at noon.
Yep.
And since then we've been talking mainly. We've met this guy. He's quite a nice guy, and we've talked about the state of the union and the world.
I see.
It's maybe in terrible shape.
You have set up here a table with comics, so this is the comic.
Yeah, this is the comics assembly.
Okay, so you officially registered this as an assembly.
Yeah, this is an assembly.
Okay.
We had also had some sessions yesterday.
Yeah.
People came and wanted to make comics. Someone
here,
made
here at this
at this table. Someone made a comic about a talk that he attended.
Wow.
And wanted to illustrate things that happened there.
Yeah.
People asking questions to the lecturer and stuff like that. Some people came just to try things out, sketch a little bit, have a talk.
And you're the official artist in residence of this assembly.
That's it, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So while you're here, you're usually drawing comics, or you're just waiting for people to start talking?
Some of the time. If I have some pictures in me, I pick up some piece and of paper and a pen, and I draw some things. And sometimes I'm just sitting here and watching the people. There are lots of interesting people passing by.
So you have still time to attend talks or workshops, or you mainly...
I might have made more time to attend talks. I have seen two talks so far. No, three. Three.
Three. Okay.
I sat in two talks and I watched one on the stream.
Yeah.
Yesterday in the evening. That's
Wait,
it.
Let me get that. You're sitting here at the Congress with
yes.
your laptop. And while sitting here on the stream, you watch a talk that happened in some other room. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... They were full.
In a room, attending a talk while watching on their laptop another talk. Completely normally.
Yeah, that's like with the lounge.
Yeah.
Last year in the lounge, there was a nightclub in the lounge, in the Congress, but in the lounge there was also a flat share. It's like a flat occupied by different people with all the living rooms. And you could attend a party in a flat, in a nightclub, at the Congress.
Yeah.
So that's like these Russian dolls that are one inside the other.
So it's a good topic for another comic.
Yeah, that could be illustrated.
you're not in the business of officially illustrating talks. You know, there are some...
No, I don't do that. No,
that.
I'm just
for your own fun.
I'm a dilettante.
Okay.
I just do it for fun.
Can you talk about yourself? You're talking, you have a profession as tailor?
Yes, I have a completely different profession. Yeah. I'm a tailor. I repair clothes, make new clothes or alter things for people. That's what I do for a living. And I make comics on the side since about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Longer than I'm tailoring, actually, but it's always been a hobby.
But you never think about becoming a professional mower?
No. When I was 18, 19, people told me, oh, you have to become a professional artist. You have to go into advertising. And that was it for me, because I couldn't do that. I don't have the knack for it.
It's, so you're too integral with your art.
I just don't like advertising, and I would be bored to death, and I would hate myself, and I don't know. I don't think I would do a good work either.
Okay. How are you drawing that? First off, where can people find your drawings, your art?
What's you can the, find most of the stuff on pantalon.tv.
Pantalon.tv,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
There are some... it's sort of a blog, because everyone has a blog these days. But I haven't updated it since summer when I had the exhibition.
Okay.
I had an exhibition. There's a alternative center for culture and arts in Bonn.
In Bonn, okay, Germany.
It's called the Kult 41.
Yeah.
They have exhibitions once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
you was there.
A friend of mine made a connection for me, and I could make the exhibition in summer. Yes. It was
and then
really nice.
Become instant rich and famous.
Yes, sure. I'm just trying to get off the coke right now.
No, but I mean, you had little price tags on your...
I printed some copies of my comics and tried to sell them there, so that made up for the wine that we offered. So, yeah. I broke even.
You ever in your life had a kind of manager who said, "Ah, oh, you're just such an artist. We
no, never.
Both become rich."
No. Oh, everything that I do is completely useless.
Love for love.
Yeah, you could say so.
What topics are you drawing? You're drawing in black white mostly.
Yes. There's lots of dialogue in my comics.
Yeah.
I make comics with animals, with monsters sometimes.
Yeah.
Talking animals, of course, because monsters that don't talk are really boring. I think that's why Smaug is such a nice monster, because he talks really, really mean. I make comics about books that I've read.
Okay.
I try to put as much references to other things into it as possible to make it more interesting for people.
So can I say that if... drawing comics is some kind of post-processing from things you experience?
Yes. I make comics that reflect my own experiences.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very cool. You have your M1 fan club, people who read a new comic of you and discuss that?
Yes, my brother and my mother like the stuff that I do. Yeah, I mostly make it for them.
Okay, but you don't get from Australia or Fiji Islands or some.
Actually, I do have friends in Australia.
Yeah?
I have, my sister lives there.
Ah.
So I have friends in Australia too.
So you really know your audience.
I'm a close
relationship to your audience.
I'm a globally renowned artist.
Very cool. Okay. Can I point you that you will put your some of your drawings under Creative Commons Share Alike license in International Open Magazine?
Yes. At one point, I really had this Creative Commons license tag on my page, but then next time I updated it, I forgot to put it in again. The site really is in a bad shape. I ought to do something about it, but web publishing is not my strong suit. It's very basic HTML and there's no fancy stuff, but I must say there's also no advertising in it, so that maybe makes up for it. What I lack in professionalism, I also lack in commercialism.
Good thing you have a job, but you're not like other artists. Do you not fear that if you basically give away your art for free under a free license, yes, that only demand that the license is maintained? Don't you fear that other people like me will make tons of money out of it?
If you can do so, then you are a cleverer man than me. Do you know the Cory Doctor of podcast?
The Cory
Doctor of podcast. No, he has this jingle at the end of the podcast, where it says this song has been licensed under copyright license 20310 for a period of 27 years. You're not allowed to share it or remix it or anything, but if you do so, you're a very good friend of ours because we don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
We made it. That's all we wanted to do. It's a quote, a Woody Guthrie quote, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's some really classical artists that also don't give a shit about money and anything. So, yeah, I'm more in that kind of a bean.
Okay. I think you told me you had once experimented with a donation address with Flutter.
Yeah, Flutter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You still have Flutter on your homepage, so...
It's still there, yeah.
Yeah.
And it works. If people arrive at the page and read it, some people actually do click the Flutter button. That's if those people actually know about Flutter.
Yeah, of course. We have a Flutter account.
Yeah.
Can you say in average how many thousands of euro you make a month with Flutter?
In thousands, that's .01 thousand.
So 1 euro?
10?
10 euro.
Yeah, it's about 10 or 20. No, not a month in total. I told you, the site is a mess.
Okay.
There's nothing happening there.
Please, dear listener, head over to pantalon.tv or internationalopenmagazine.com.
Please publish
him.
Yeah, go there, read my comics.
All
that's what they are for.
Make it really easy to support. You have any web comics that you like? Is it that are inspiring you?
Yes. Well, there are the very well knowns like XKCD or Dilbert, of course.
Yeah.
But Derek Kirk Kim, I like his work very much. His comics were on his webpage. Some of it he's already taken down in order to print them and sell them, which I think is a pity, but okay, that's a commercial decision and can't argue with that. As probably his editor told him to take down. But he publishes unfinished work there.
Mm-hmm.
Tune is his latest webcomic, I think. It's a really good story about a comic artist that tries to break through and tries to avoid getting a real job, and his parents are really pushing him. And
so you can feel with him.
Yeah, I have lots of empathy for that. I try to work as little as possible, of course, in order to have time to make comics. It's a conundrum. Spit or swallow.
Okay. Can we talk about the technique? I think I get from you that you like drawing in black and white, and you also admire comics like Dilbert or XKCD. XKCD, who are not famous for farmers and well-detailed painting, but they're quite inverse. They're famous for being black-white.
They're quite simple and quite exact, actually.
Yeah.
There's some...
The art of Vedus.
It's very reduced, and everything that is there means something.
Yeah.
And I think in comics, you paint the same thing over and over again. You have the same faces that you have to paint over and over again, and you have to design them very carefully first in order not to overwork yourself. That's a lot of work making comics. It takes a long time. And second, you have to recognize things over and over again. The reader must be able to recognize the same face.
Like a good cartoonist, you must be able to express with a few strokes that what you...
Yes, you have to be economical with what you do. It's not like with Dürer drawings. Or,
Were you born with this talent, or could you have you improved over time?
I improved over time. It's like you pick up a pen and then you start drawing, and the first things that you do are terrible, and then you get better from that. Definitely.
So you just...
I don't believe in talent.
Okay, you don't believe in spitting.
No, really.
Okay.
That's just to create the impression that some people can't enter art, and I don't think that is true. Everybody can do art, and comics is quite a nice example for it. You can make stick figures like in XKCD and become famous and rich with that, actually. I really admire Randall Munroe. He's one of the great artists of our time. Yeah. Maybe he will be recognized as one later.
Yeah.
I mean, he's recognized now. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay. Is there a reoccurring topic in your comics? Is it something that comes again over and over, like a love story or some philosophical question?
Yeah. There's philosophical questions about our purpose, about
meaning of life,
of course. Yes, that's the questions. I mean, when the monsters come to get the princess, what drives them to get the princess? Are they just mean or evil, or is there some background story to these monsters? Maybe they just got thrown out of the flat, have no money, and they're looking for an opportunity to make bucks on the street, and they abduct the princess.
Actually, capitalism in fairyland.
Yeah.
Very good.
But there's also the story of the princess, of course. Can't have a non-dimensional princess in the 21st century, because she's the female leading act, and also she has to have an attitude. So the princess herself, well, she actually tried to escape from the palace, because the palace is her jail.
And so maybe the monsters are the way to get out?
Maybe she's the one who's not really... worried about getting abducted by the monsters. Her parents are terribly worried. Oh my God, the poor parents. they were just trying to get her married to someone in order to keep the empire going, and now she gets abducted, and that's the worst thing that can happen to a princess, as we all know. Only the princess may not really agree, because she has a mind of her own. Yeah, the my comic with the monsters actually breaks off in the middle. I ought to make a second part of it, or maybe a second and a third part. I'll do that when I have time. So
you often conflicted ideas, so like you want to make a comic about some topic A, and then in the middle of it you stop because now much more urgent is to make another comic about a book you just read or a film you just see.
Yes, that happens.
And
also,
unfinished
you start writing a story with characters and then you flesh them out and have them say things and then you get your characters into situations where they react with a mind of their own somehow.
So they monsters become too independent.
You can't just force your story on the characters. Okay. These characters are not you. They have their own identity, so if you write the story, you find out that these characters can't walk through the story the way that you intended, but you have to go on some detours. That's where it becomes interesting, actually, where writing becomes interesting for me, because when I write a story that I have in my mind and it would work out just the way I have it in my mind, that would be really boring, or that might be boring. And if some unforeseen things happen, that makes it more interesting for me. So these characters, they sort of develop a life of their own.
Do you ever try to get in another direction of art, like making a script for a movie or a theater play or something?
No. I play some music.
Yes?
Yeah. So I have a guy in Bonn, I meet once a week. We play some old clarinet duets, Karl Richter and Mozart and stuff like that. But that's completely different alley.
Okay. Well, looking forward to publishing you.
Oh, yes, publish me.
Yeah. And of course, your work will be free licensed, so everyone
yes, of
can
course.
Publish you.
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone can read it, everyone can copy it.
So your art will spread.
If you decide to print it, give me a hint so I can have a look at it maybe. I'm very interested in seeing what others can do with my work.
You're also interested if some artist pick up your art and maybe mutate it into something else?
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing that.
Yeah.
My work is black and white. If you
someone
want to color it or something, that would be possible.
Or make 3D characters out of it with some software.
Oh, yeah. I've seen these people with 3D printers. You could print stuff like that. Oh. Maybe we should get some corporations going.
Okay. So, and your contact address is actually on pantalon.tv.
Yes, there is an email address.
And read this email.
Yes, I read it. I read email for benjamin@pantalon.tv or for pantalon@pantalon.tv.
Okay. So it's easy to contact you.
Yeah, email is the safest way to contact me.
Okay. Well, thanks for the interview.
You're welcome.